Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
It's another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson. Joining me is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
So, Greg, it's my understanding that we timed this recording perfectly to drag you away from listening to the blighted hellscape that is the presidential debate.
Oh, thank you so much, Jay. That was just suffering in pure audio form.
Like, unless you have some sort of masochism kink that I don't know about, which, to be clear, I don't even know about. I don't know why you would
watch or listen to that. Masochists get enjoyment, so I think it's just, like, I deserve the suffering, so I'm bringing it on myself.
I see. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, it's been a week since we've recorded. Anything exciting going on with you?
I got to play some more Marvel. I finally found a store. I don't remember if I talked about this before, but I've been going to a store.
You did briefly, yeah.
Oddly enough, the store is named Atomic Hobby, and I thought was kind of funny. But it's, you know, I enjoy everybody wearing masks and there being lots of space, so I don't feel...
Yeah.
My daughter did get sick last week and I had to get another COVID test for her, so my poor daughter has been COVID tested 3 times since this all started, and she's such a trooper.
One of my employees got a COVID test, and I think it's been 3 weeks now, and he still doesn't have his results.
still
oh, like, what is the And it wasn't a free one. It was from an urgent care. Like
here we have the children's hospitals where I've gotten my daughters, and every time they get her results to me within a day, like 24 hours, and the results are in the app. And then I get a call from a doctor like a day from then. And it's negative. It's been negative every time. The doctor's just like, do you have any questions? And I'm like, was that the fast one that's inaccurate? And they're like, no, that's the good one. And I was like, oh, all right.
It feels like he took $150 and just like lit a match to it. And like that would be more effective than
I mean, maybe
the COVID
test
that he paid for.
Maybe he could like breathe in the smoke and I don't know, like see the future. He could try to divine some sense from it. It's silly though.
Yeah. I've just had a busy week.
Yeah.
I've had 2 hires. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that takes a lot. One of the things I've just been having spent a lot of time on is basically customer service and follow up with Games Workshop messing up my orders. And so like me contacting customers and keeping them updated and et cetera. And so
That epic journey you've been on has been my favorite part of Chain Attack recently, because I get so much joy from, like, it's joy, Jay. I'm sorry. I'm enjoying it. It's so funny to, like, because I've been there, right? Like, I've worked in game stores.
Yeah, I've
dealt with customers that are extremely unreasonable about, like, things that are out of all of our control. And I'm literally just, I'm just remembering people like yelling at me, and I'm being like, sir, what do you want me to do?
I love my customers. They've been amazing. I try to, you know, have as much communication with them as I can. And like today I've refunded literally like hundreds and hundreds of dollars in orders.
Is this people who cannot get the Silent King?
Yes.
Because GW won't sell them to you?
Yes.
I was going to order it from you, Jay. And I was like, I don't need that giant model. I'm not going to be serious.
Or do you?
I mean, apparently I can't get it. So. Yeah, well,
someday I'll sell it again. But like, it's not like everyone was very, you know, understanding with it. It just sucks to be refunding, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, totally.
So
you can't get.
And like the part that's the, I guess, extra little stab in the back or twist of the knife, I guess is maybe a better phrase of it, is that like on all of those refunds, I don't get paid back the credit card fees.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
So that's the little cherry on top of it all.
That blows.
But I think we have some really good hires, and I'm excited that it feels like things are getting a little bit back on course. So
that's awesome news. That's really good to hear.
Yeah.
I'm excited for our episode today because the internet has decided that this is the best character in the game.
I mean, I guess I haven't even been able to be, I've been so effing busy that like, I haven't been able to fully absorb that analysis.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
The reaction to Ant-Man has been really interesting. And I guess we should talk about him first before we get into that.
Well, wait one moment, sir.
Okay, let's go.
We have something important to talk about. So I may be a busy man, but I still make time to doom scroll through Twitter. And that means that I've seen some of the X-Men previews put out by Atomic Mass Games.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
By the way, like, I think I follow two game companies on Twitter. No, that's not true. I follow more than that. But the two that jumped out to me.
You pay attention to two.
No, I forgot that I do follow Privateer Press. But their posts are kind of generic overall. But so there's I feel like the social media posts that Atomic Mass does I think are great. They have like basically exactly the type of content that I'm looking for. But the other one is like the contrast of that, and it's Cool Mini or Not. And I basically hate their Twitter account. Like, right now they've been doing like a countdown to Halloween with like, hey, here's a song we like, and it's 16 days to Halloween or whatever, right? And I'm like, it also sometimes it like it feels like they want to be the next Wendy's Twitter account of the gaming world, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's I guess I'm just an old man, and I don't. Like I want to know information about your games. That's why I'm following your account, right?
Yeah.
So I guess Cool Mini or Not, get off my Twitter lawn. Okay. So, but all that said, X-Men spoilers and previews on Twitter. Give me your thoughts.
Oh man. Okay. So Wolverine and Sabretooth were first.
Yes.
And they were spoiled together.
Yes.
And they did a really good job of making them, like, really different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. Like, they're both size 3 if they get thrown. And they both are, like, just offensive threat 4s. And they both are pretty different. They get that new healing factor ability where you may heal. I think Wolverine heals 2 and Sabretooth heals 1. So that's like a really cool new ability. I love that, like, I think I like Sabretooth more. He seems like he's more like useful and he's able to be really offensive and score. Who did we get next? We got
Toad.
We got Toad, who is maybe my favorite two-coster, because he can lay down incinerate with his, like, acid spit. He moves medium, but he can make, like, a Toad jump. And then if he's attacked, he can make another, like, short move, I think. So he's just extremely mobile. And my favorite thing about him is he can use his tongue to interact from range two away.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's going to be really interesting where he can, like, interact, like, from further away. So, like, it just makes him even more movable and, like, able to get around the table. I just think he's super cool. He's a really fun two-cost.
I think he is really cool. I don't think I was prepared for his artwork, because I think most of my experience with Toad had been in the movie.
Mm.
And so...
Oh, yeah. His classic costume is goofy as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to remember, like, Toad is, like, a very... He's, like, Magneto dresses him that way because he's, like, a joke almost. Like, he dresses him like a Harlequin, where okay. It's like... This is what you wear, you minion. It's. I mean, that's the, like, I think, I'm pretty sure that's the, like, original thing that they were going for.
Okay.
Is that, like, Toad is Magneto's joke, almost.
Huh.
Except Toad's, you know, Toad's pretty, I think he's pretty cool. I think he's a pretty fun character. He definitely, like, I remember him being almost like Starscream, where he's like, I'm going to become the leader by killing Magneto, or, like, getting rid of him, or, like, letting him get captured. I love that character type. It's fun. Very Saturday morning cartoon.
Mm. And then finally, the big reveal.
Well, we got previews for Mystique and Beast, but we don't have the full reveals yet. But they seem fun and very different. Like,
I appreciate that there's a lot of, I actually think that it's a really clever way to promote the game. I like the posts, but I generally don't consume the, like, from panel to card or whatever those are.
Okay. Because, so, yeah, we got panels for play for Cyclops, Storm, Beast, and Mystique, but we don't have their cards.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that, like, Storm's leadership is going to be, like a defensive buff for her whole team. Like, she has mists concealing them.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
Cyclops is going to let people pay for the... Like, Cyclops is going to let teammates pay for your abilities. So, yeah. Like, you're working so well in a team that you can, like, spread power around. But then they showed Magneto. And, Jay, this is your favorite character.
Yes.
And he's a threat 6.
He is.
He's on a 50-millimeter base with a slow move.
Mm-hmm.
He creates these little, like, magnetic, like, shrapnel. He basically creates, like, shrapnel guys. That yes. He can move, and uh-huh. He can shoot his big beater attack out of it. He has the first throw in the game that you can use multiple times,
mm-hmm.
In a turn in an activation, and it just becomes more expensive every time you use it, which is sweet. So you're probably only getting two throws off realistically.
Which I will say is, like, what a
still
cool
great.
Right. It's still great, but also, like, what a cool, like, it's that's what Magneto should be able to do, right?
Yeah. I mean,
he should be throwing stuff all over the place.
Yeah, like, there, I could easily see a turn where he could throw, like, four pieces of terrain by using all his power. It'd be great. Like, MODOK is screwed. But, like, even his leadership ability is, like, when you destroy a piece of terrain, I think you can give 3 power to your team. Like, one power per character, something like that.
I thought it was, like, the size of the terrain, you give out that much power.
I don't remember. Either way, it's still good, because it's just, when you destroy terrain, you get to spread power around your team. And Mystique does have an ability also, where Mystique has, like, she can blow up terrain and damage people near it, so she also will be able to get it. But he's a very exciting character. He's very cool. He seems like a really powerful threat 6.
And I mean, maybe I'm bad at this whole power gaming stuff now or whatever. I don't know. But, like, I'm not sure that people are maybe split on what they think of Magneto, on whether or not he's too expensive or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't care. I get to play Magneto.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a number of allied characters equal to or less than the terrain feature's size. So you're right, Jay.
Yes.
He seems and really good.
A character can only get one as a result from the leadership per turn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, also he's defense 6 Mystic, and he can pay 2 to use that defense for everything. So if he can pay 2 to be defense 6 against everything.
That seems okay, right?
I mean, it's good. On it definitely puts him up there where like people are going to be like Magneto in Avengers, like he's right. defense 6 every turn. He's going to be really good. I think I'm really excited to see what his team tactic cards do, because he has like Asteroid M and he has like some very Magneto sounding abilities. It'll be very cool.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. It will. I do think it's kind of his hit points being 6-8, I think, is interesting as well. But overall, I am quite excited. It goes without saying, obviously, we have these card or these miniatures available for pre-sale at Discount Games Inc. And I think we're about 3 weeks away from their official release. And so plenty of time to get these in. And I'm excited to... I'm just excited to play X-Men.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. Jay, hold on just a moment. Yeah, so we're at November 13th for the first wave of X-Men, and that'll be really sweet.
Yeah, I concur. So, without further ado, we can start talking about Ant-Man. I guess maybe it's. I think it'll be okay that. We went a little bit longer in the prelude because I don't know that we're going to spend as much time on this comic book arc as some of the others.
Yeah, I think we can zoom through this comic arc, unfortunately. Look, man, yeah. I was looking for a good Scott Lang comic and the internet recommended it. So anyways, let's look at his card. I think he's a really hard card for me to read just because... For right. those who haven't seen him, right, the card is on its long side, and it's got a normal and tiny side. So I'm going to start with the stats that stay the same. He's a 3 physical defense, 2 energy, 3 mystic. He's got 5 stamina, and he's threat 3. But then all his other stats change. So, like, when he's normal, he's a medium move. When he's tiny, he's a short move. When he's normal, he's size 2. When he's tiny, he's size 1. And then everything else changes. He has different attacks. He has different powers, which is really cool, right? Like, it completely fits. It's very awesome. It just makes it hard to, like, audio talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, one of the cool things with Ant-Man is he uses the transform rule. So he has 2 models. He has a normal and a tiny one. And basically just says when you transform, you like pretty much everything stays the same, but you place the new model within one and then you switch to the other side for looking for like your abilities and whatnot. So there are different things that transform him for Scott Lang. He has 1 attack on each normal and tiny side that transform him. And then he has a couple abilities that transform him as well. So when you say transform, it means he gets to move 1 and be placed there. And then other things happen. Like, so for Ant-Man, when he goes tiny, he drops objective tokens, which is really important. And it's also worth saying that your opponent places the objective tokens, not you. It's in the core rules that your opponent will always place your objective tokens. So his normal strike is called Pym Particle Punch, range 2, power 4. After the attacker is resolved, you gain power equal to the damage dealt. But the second rule that makes it special is after this attack is resolved, you may transform him. You don't have to, but you may. Very cool. His big spender attack is Bullet Ant Barrage, and it's probably my favorite attack in the game after I've used it a couple times. It's so good. It's beam 3. Strength 7, cost 4, and if it deals damage, you get poison and stun. I love it so much, Jay. It's so good. It is physical.
Real quick, to remind the listeners, what do the poison and stun conditions do?
So poison is you don't gain your power during power phase. You'll just be at zero power gained. Stun is that you can only gain one power a turn for anything. So it hurts your power generation immensely. So you're not getting your power up. And when you get attacked, you can only gain one. Or other rules, right? Like if you had a rule like Red Skull using his Cosmic Cube would only gain one power.
Right.
So Ant-Man can pay one to change size, which is he just transforms and he drops all his objective tokens. Change size is only usable once per turn. And then his second ability is a reactive that basically says if he's targeted by an enemy attack or would suffer a collision, you can transform him that way. So change size costs one, or you have to use a Pym Particle Punch to change size. And when you do, you drop tokens and then you're placed. We talked about Ghost Spider and how she can like make your opponent basically miss an attack.
Mm-hmm.
Transform using Pym Particle Control or changing size does not avoid the attack. It doesn't have anything in the rules that say, you know, if you're out of range or anything.
Sure.
So it doesn't actually stop you from avoiding. So when he's in Tiny, he loses all of those rules and he gets new rules. So his attack, he only has one attack when Tiny, and it's called Ant-Sized Uppercut. And this one is range one, so it's the only range one we have so far. It's strength six. It's free. It gains power equal to the damage dealt, and it says after this attack is resolved, this character transforms into Ant-Man. So when he's normal, he doesn't have to transform, but when he's tiny, if he... Jay, can you hear me?
I can now. You I think you cut out for a second. You said basically when he's tiny... he has to transform if he does that attack.
Yeah,
transform into normal.
Which is very fluffy because he's making his uppercut into his normal size. So I like it.
Right, yeah.
He has changed size, but now it says he transforms into Ant-Man normal sized. This is my favorite thing about being tiny is he has Hitch a Ride, which is a zero cost place him three ability. So even though he's short move, if he's advancing, he can get a free three place. He's got stealth, which is you have to be within three of him to target him. And he's got tiny superhero, which is that he gets to reroll any number of defense or dodge dice. But additionally, he cannot hold objective tokens. So he can still interact. He can still contest and secure. He's just not able to hold any objective tokens, which is too bad.
But it is it is kind of fitting, right?
Yeah, totally. It is exactly the same when he's injured. Nothing changes. So he's still five stamina. He still has all the same abilities. So I think it's worth talking about that he is really fast. If he turn one, he can move medium, transform for one, place himself three. Right. And then advance short. So he can, if you're on certain scenarios, he can get places where your opponent just does not expect him to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The question is it worth it if you do? And I think there are people who really, really value that being able to like mess with your opponent's plans and get anywhere. I think that's a lot of why. Also, Bullet Ant Barrage is insane. It's so good. So people also really value that extremely high attack. What do you think, Jay, when you hear it?
One of the things I think is interesting about him is that, I guess I'll talk a little bit about just a trend in general in the game that seems to have been happening. It seems like when close around to when the start of the game was going on, that, four cost characters were, really popular, viewed as being really powerful. It was difficult to decide, you know, what were the best four-cost characters, etc. And it feels like there's been a more recent trend where people have been really excited about three-cost characters and, you know, trying to find as many three-cost characters that as you can, they're going to like perform well or that maybe have a little bit higher stamina than your average three cost characters. And, you know, if you multiply that out a little bit, then you might end up having one extra character than your opponent, et cetera, which can be valuable. But I think The Batman plays well into that, obviously. I think another one, obviously, that is featured in the comic book arc that we read, Taskmaster, is also one that seems like he's a 3-point character who's going to be pretty popular in a lot of lists. And so I do think he does a lot of cool things, and I think that he kind of plays into I guess some trends in the game that are also kind of popular right now.
I've seen a lot of people kind of leaning that exact same way, that the 3-costers are now kind of the ones that people are kind of focusing on and maybe looking to.
Sure.
I'm torn on this because I think the 4s are still like what you build a lot of the core around, but then like Web Warriors is built around, I think, Miles and Gwen. Uh-huh. And so like Guardians is built around a lot of 3s and a few 4s when you build a good list.
Well, I think part of it too is that if you look at like some, you mentioned Web Warriors, another one that came out recently that can lend itself quite well to cost-effective 3-point characters is going to be Defenders with the leadership. Like if these cheap heroes can be, you know, picking their attack type, etc., then suddenly that can be like a really massive amount of output. And so I think that's we've mentioned about how, you know, just one of the trends in the game is that people tend to be really excited about whatever the most recent releases are. And so I guess it's not too surprising that 3-cost characters are pretty popular when some of the most recent affiliations use them really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Jay. I think Criminal Syndicate is maybe the only one that I'm not 100% convinced on, but yeah, a lot of the newer, Defenders, Web Warriors, Guardians, all really love these 3s. Even like going back a bit, right? I think Black Order is becoming a lot more versatile with like strong 3-pointers, like padding the list out from the core team. And that's another thing, right? Like you can really be a lot more creative with what you're taking. If you have like, oh, well, I have a really slow list, I need a 3-pointer that can fill in and do some of the things that my core list doesn't do. Do you think we're going to get to a point in the game where it's like the 3-pointers that are the really hard to choose ones? Because we've talked a lot about that before in the earlier episodes about how like being a 4-coster makes it harder to choose a character sometimes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. I guess my initial gut is, as more and more releases come out, that for almost every point level, that's going to kind of be the case. And that, some of the reasons why I think that's cool or that's good, is that I think your character selections a lot of times are going to come down to two things. So the first one is, for example, me playing Magneto. I just want to play Magneto because I love Magneto and he's going to be fun and he's going to be cool. And hopefully I can do well with him, but like, I just want to play Magneto. And so I think there is going to be a lot of character selections that are, you know, made on that basis. But the other thing that I think is going to be, true or useful is that, in a lot of games where you end up having a lot of diversity or a lot of good options, etc., I actually think that in general, a lot of times, if your purpose is purely like, I want to make a competitive list and have competitive choices, you know, etc., in general, I think that you're disadvantaged if you are selecting the options that are the most popular, or that everyone else is doing, or that everyone else has played a bunch against. And so I think that it's I think it's a great sign of game balance if your optimal game strategy is for you to be looking at stuff that people aren't as experienced with, or that that fall in those categories. And so there's still going to be, like, I'm assuming Valkyrie, who you're going to be inclined to take because she's a great 3-point coster. But, my hope or expectation is that there's also going to be a bunch of 3-point characters that will fit a certain strategy you want to follow, or that will be able to perform well, and that your opponent won't be expecting as much. I don't know. What do you, I guess, agree with that analysis? Do you disagree?
No. I think you're right. And I think we're also maybe getting to the point where there was kind of a conversation where people were comparing Vision with Enchantress, and I kind of was like, well, if I want Asgard, maybe I'll take Enchantress, and if I want Avengers, maybe I'll take Vision. If we get to that point, which is, we don't want characters to be identical. But I really liked what you were talking about, where we want to bring things that our opponent, like, is maybe a little bit less familiar with seeing.
Right.
Like, I just played my first game against Criminal Syndicate and got the... I had brought... Let me think. I'm trying to remember. He brought Kingpin, Taskmaster, who else? Killmonger. Like, it was just a very aggressive gamma shelter list.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, cool. Well, here's my defenders list that I have a Web Warriors defenders list, and I thought defenders would be a good matchup because they have a lot of pushing and pulling, and Daredevil can really, like, beat face in a crowded scenario. And so I was like, yeah, this is going to go really well. And it was awful. He wiped the floor with me, and I was like, okay, cool. I haven't played this yet, but if I was playing Wakanda on it, I would be able to beat Wakanda probably on Gamma Shelters. I've played it a lot. I've played Ezit.
Right, right.
I was the one who convinced a lot of my locals that, like, Wakanda was way stronger than they look.
Right.
We often get into internet hive mind when there's that, like, available, and when you've played a game. And you try to get competitive, right? Because you try to look for the things people have already done and imitate them to learn. So I think it's really interesting to think about that. Like,
I think another thing that's cool about it, too, is that there's to highlight my point, I'll kind of reference a comment you made that was a little bit offhand earlier in the podcast, where you said, like, I'm not sure if Criminal Syndicate is really going to want to do this, like, optimized 3-point character list. And, maybe that's correct. But there's also, like, I've had thoughts of, like, what if I played Criminal Syndicate and I had, cheaper characters, and they're each counting as 2 toward securing. And, am I just going to run away with the scenario on my opponent, et cetera, et cetera. And so... I think that there's one of the things that's great about the game is that there's just a lot of different strategies that you can think about or employ, and things that you might initially think aren't going to work could actually be surprisingly strong. And so that's something that I've enjoyed a lot as well.
Yeah. And, like, there's my thoughts with Criminal Syndicate is just they want to, like, beat face and score points. So, but maybe I'm wrong in that. Maybe, like, not having priority can really benefit them because they'll be able to push people off points or move after your opponent's move. So,
yeah, I mean, if you have more characters than your opponent and you're going last, I mean, that can be pretty strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're managing to not get all your characters wiped out.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well... any closing thoughts on Ant-Man before we go to the comic book arc?
Yeah, I kind of joked around people thinking he's, like, the best, but I actually think he's really good. And I really love being able to move around, and his offensive abilities are good for a three-pointer, but not amazing. And like I love Bolinet Barrage so much, and I think it's really cool how he can just get everywhere with all his extra moves built in. It's a lot of fun. So
awesome. All right, so we're doing a two comic arc this time.
Mm-hmm.
And which one did we go with, Greg?
So we read The Avengers from 1960. The run started in 1963. Yeah, and we read Avengers issues 195 and 196. I don't have a lot of experience with Scott Lang. And so what I did when I was looking for this was I kind of Googled the best Scott Lang stories, and a few of them were after the movies. And I will say this, the movies, like I've mentioned it before, but if the movies change a character fundamentally, they always do that in the comics. And so Scott Lang in the comics went from being a very competent and skilled electrical engineer who became a superhero after he stole a suit for a righteous cause to he's a goofy ex-con that no one takes seriously. And like, I don't like that newer Scott Lang as much because he's played for jokes a lot. And so I wanted to find an older Scott Lang. And so this was listed
I need to call halt right here.
Yeah, let's go.
And we need to have a discussion, Greg.
What, Jay?
So I went into the Ant-Man movie with like super low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of it and like I just absolutely loved it.
Oh yeah.
And it was way better than I expected. Mm-hmm. And granted, I didn't have like this grounding or history of him being like a totally different character, but like Ant-Man, like he's awesome in the movies. I don't like what are you thinking?
There's nothing wrong with how great Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp are, and how dope Ant-Man is in Civil War, and how Hank Pym, and more specific, not Hank Pym, Scott Lang saved the world in Endgame.
Yes.
But to me, the way that they like totally change a character's like bent after the movie does it, yeah, rubs me the wrong way. Mm. And I get it, and I 100% agree that it's like the only real choice they can make, because it's right, the smart choice to make sure viewers are comfortable with the character. And Scott Lang wasn't a hugely like favorite character. It's kind of a weird thing that Hank Pym does, where Hank Pym abandons superhero identities, someone else picks them up, and then Hank Pym is like, oh, I want to be a superhero again, and Hank Pym creates a new superhero. So like eventually there's another Yellow Jacket, and then eventually there's another Giant Man, and these are all different characters. And like I think for the most part Marvel just has kind of been like, oh, whatever, these are just not Hank Pym Hank Pyms, right? Like
I do also, so I took note of several places in these two comics where I was like, oh, and this one, so this one at least was not a yikes oh compared to a lot of the other ones, but like this is really early in the first comic, fairly early. So there's Yellow Jacket, or YJ as he is sometimes referred to,
only by Scott Lang. Because Scott Lang is hip.
And so Yellow Jacket and Ant-Man are talking, and Yellow Jacket says, I appreciate your coming along on such short notice, Scott. I know your job at Stark International is important. And then Scott Lang interrupts and says, say, look, I enjoy soldering transistors as much as the next guy. But the reason I originally took your offer to be Ant-Man was because I craved excitement and adventure. And if that means being docked an hour's pay, pal, then them's the breaks.
Yep.
So, first off, I like the that dialogue just seems so cheesy to me. But also, like, when you were talking about Hank Pym, or sorry, about Scott Lang, you made it sound like he was like, had this heroic background or something like this. But in this, he's like, yeah, I just crave some excitement and adventure. You know, I didn't want to help people or be a good person. Just need a little adrenaline in my life.
Mm-hmm. It's his drug. His drug is adrenaline, and he's addicted to it. Yeah, you're right. It's whatever. It's just one of those things. Like, it's more a me problem than a, like, anything else.
True,
and I accept that. But let's, real quick, the plot of this comic is stupid. And it is that a man goes to the Avengers and says he's in trouble. And then guards from an insane asylum take him. And the Wasp, and only the Wasp, believes something is fishy. So without telling the Avengers, she follows them and tries to free the man and then gets gassed. And then they put her on a table and they put her head in a box full of sleeping gas. And then the Avengers, who knew where she was going because they figured it was the only place she could have gone, they go there. And then they only send in the shrinking heroes to go investigate. Not the guy who can go through walls and turn invisible.
And also, like, there's this scene where they're, like, going through the keyhole in some doors, etc. And there's, like, this stream of ants that are, you know, flying past the guard. And I'm just like, how does this guy not notice this? Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure if I was standing guarded a door and there was like a stream of flying ants that went past me, I'd probably notice.
Here's the thing, you notice if there's like one or two ants in your house, like if they're like out in the open like flying around, you're like, oh shit.
Let's say that one of them had like a yellow superhero costume and one had a red one. Do you think you would notice that?
I'd probably notice that.
Yeah, okay, but, interesting.
So I need to continue on this summary.
Okay.
So it turns out that this man they need to rescue is the clone of the head of this insane asylum because they need to cut his heart out and put it into the actual founders. So they have the technology to clone a human being very quickly and also have him be educated in order to rip his heart out and put it into a new body. Mm-hmm. But they don't have the technology to just grow or fix a human heart.
Yes.
This facility is and then we find out that, well, it's been obvious the whole time, but there's something wrong with this facility in that it's actually a henchman training camp.
I did think the henchman training camp was kind of cool.
I love it. I love it so much. And they're all like, oh, is that where they have their never-ending stream of goons? And it's like, yep, they're trained here. And I'm just like, I love it. I love that so much that there's like training camps for goons.
It was kind of funny that basically they're like taking prisoners and turning them into goons instead of just using this rapid clone technology. Mm-hmm. Like the Star Wars prequels, but
yep.
And I guess maybe prison labor is cheaper than making a clone.
I mean, maybe. So at the end, Taskmaster knocks out Scott Lang and Hank Pym and takes them all prisoner.
Yes.
In the next issue, Hank Pym is blonde, and I don't believe he's blonde most of the time. But that's just a weird thing I noticed.
Okay.
And here's where Taskmaster monologues and explains his powers and his, like, thing to them.
Uh-huh.
Which is that Taskmaster has photographic reflexes and he can copy all these superheroes' moves. And it's, like, it's just very easy for him. And he uses those skills because he doesn't want to get in fights and get hurt. He just wants to make money. So he just trains goons, and I love it.
It is kind of funny that if, like, I want money and I can do, like, basically any astounding physical feat, and so the proper, you know, chain of logic is I'm going to train goons instead of, like, the you know, ex professional athlete.
Yeah, and so I will say this bit about his backstory has been changed and updated recently, and it's much better now. And when we get to Taskmaster, I have the perfect comic for Taskmaster. It's really good. It's really good, I promise.
And how old is it?
It's very recent. It's recent.
The thing that's funny, too, is that I just did the math to try to figure out what year this came out.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your... I should have just Googled it, but I guess what's
the front of the issue, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't think so. Maybe.
Oh, it's not. I don't see it. No, yeah, 1980.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of big yikes going on for, like... I mean, I guess this is, again, just me being old, but I guess 1980 doesn't seem that long ago that some of the things that they said are seem like they're from another era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so, yeah. And it's like just 1980, and I was trying to remember if calling someone a bimbo was as offensive. I was trying to like figure it out if calling... And saying, like, she's built like concrete. And I'm like, is that good or bad? Are they saying she's, like, really strong? Or is that, like, she's thick? Or, like...
I mean, I kind of assumed that it was kind of like saying that she's a brick house.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, Taskmaster has them all... He's monologuing, but Scott Lang was able to send a message with his ants to the Avengers. And he told... I guess he told the ants to crawl on Iron Man's face and like get him. And so they bust through the wall, and they have his goons have all these like cool weapons. And so there's a superhero fight. And Taskmaster is, I like this. He's like parrying Captain America, and he like predicts all these heroes, what they're going to do. And then he's like, wait, I'm not making money. And he runs away to escape. Cause he's like, he says, I could probably beat the Avengers one-on-one. But there's no money in it, so I'm out of here. And he, like, bolts. And Jocasta shows up. Jay, have we run across Jocasta before? Do you know who she is?
I don't think so, huh?
She was made to be Ultron's wife. And, like Vision, when you give someone sentience, they're like, no. And so she joins the Avengers and becomes, like... She's a hero sometimes, and sometimes she's just like, I just want to live and have a life. So she like shows Taskmaster that like, oh, you can't predict what I'm going to do and I'm really powerful. So she almost beats Taskmaster, but then he throws a flare and escapes. And the Avengers are like, oh, Jocasta, we really value you. You should be with us now. And I don't really know exactly like what situation they'd been in before this, but this was not a great Scott Lang story.
No,
like there were not great Scott Lang heroics or drama. All we really learned is that Scott Lang really likes movies and TV, and that's why he's always making references. Like when he said, and I'm just gonna read this because I like, why don't we make like Eastwood in the Iger sanction and head up to that air shaft? And it's a dated reference, I'm sure. And I'm just like sitting here and I'm like, I've seen a lot of movies, but I guess I haven't seen movies that were like late 70s popular.
Yeah.
So it's just funny to read like old pop culture that you're just like, I don't know what he's talking about, but okay.
Okay. Well, we are going to pause things there. We will continue in the next episode talking about this arc and then talking more about him in game. We will maybe have some of our top big yikes moments from this arc, of which there are a lot.
There's a lot of yikes in this. There's so many yikes. But yeah.
It'll be a good time. Tune in.
Yeah, we'll have fun.
Everyone, thank you for supporting Discount Games Inc. and this podcast. Get in your pre-orders for X-Men. That's going to be exciting.
Hell yeah.
And thank you for listening.
Yeah, and please support us on Patreon.